I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hardwood Knocks podcast. My name is Dan Favalli, coming at you on this semi-late Monday night with my super-duper, incredibly esteemed, awesome times awesome, fantabulous, spectaculario, wouldn't trade Rudy Gobert for Anthony Davis if he could, co-host Andrew D. Belly. Obviously, we have some stuff to get to. We were not planning on podcasting tonight, but some news might have dropped about some certain player on a certain team that might want to go to another certain team or five. Not sure if you've heard it. Before we dive into all that, though, just want to remind, implore, beg, and plead everyone to continue rating, reviewing, and subscribing to us on iTunes. You can also find us wherever else you're getting your podcast, but iTunes is the best way to let us know.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
That you're out there, that you're listening, that you like what we're doing. Take the 10 to 15 seconds out of your day. Search Hardwood Knocks on iTunes. Throw us that 5-star review even if you don't like us. And then you can leave some feedback in the comments section. If you haven't subscribed, definitely do that. And we are asking that you continue to recommend us to people. Give us shout-outs on Twitter. We will retweet them just because it does seem that people think that we are strictly an analytics podcast, and I'd like to think we are so much more than that. There's some personality here, lots of bad humor, tons of hypothetical trades. I trust Andy's, in addition to his analytic mind, I trust his basketball scouting overall, probably more than anyone else in the business. So there are more things than just stats here, even though we do help and or even though we do try, to contextualize those and use numbers to form and justify our opinions. Just wanted to throw that out there before we get started. But now, before we get into the Anthony Davis trade stuff, I have to ask Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like that intro was spot on. Nobody does the numbers better than us, but we're also incredibly personable. So it really is the best of both worlds.
Not to toot our own horn, but I listen back to us sometimes, and I can't believe sometimes how fast I talk and things like that. And no, we're not perfect, but I do feel like our personalities come across the podcast, and many of the podcasts I love, I don't think that that's always true.
Well, I think we're incredible, and I am tooting our horn. So
all right, there you go. So today, I woke up this morning. I slept in till like almost 8 a.m. And I woke up to the Woj news that Anthony Davis's agent, Rich Paul, informed the Pelicans that Davis does not have the intention of signing a contract extension with them over the summer and, quote, wants to be traded to a team that allows him a chance to win consistently and compete for a championship. Some other drips and drabs have come out, notably that Davis doesn't necessarily have a preferred list of destinations, though a lot of people think it's the Lakers just because he had dinner with LeBron and he can't be traded to the Celtics right now unless they include Irving in the trade package. Sham Sharania over at The Athletic tweeted out too that Lonzo Ball's camp wants him to be dealt to a third team that's not New Orleans if he's involved in any talks with the Pelicans and the Lakers. It has also been pointed out that the Pelicans maybe won't, if probably won't, trade Davis until the summer when the Celtics can get in the bidding war, when we know where Zion Williamson has landed and when 2020 draft picks come in play for certain teams. There are so many angles to tackle this from. So the first question I want to ask you, Andy, is what do you think the motive was of Davis asking for a trade now? Some of the reports say he's prepared to play out the season in New Orleans, but do you think he's just giving the Pelicans the respect of saying, hey, I'm gone, you have all this time, including the summer, parts of next season, if you want to get rid of me? Do you think he actually wants to go to the Lakers? What do you sort of make of the timing of all this?
I think I kind of take Rich Paul at his word on that, I guess. He said in that statement that they wanted to be honest and upfront with the Pelicans. And I think there are some, there are certainly some pluses to that. I was listening to the, Zach Lowe's done a podcast on this already today with Brian Windhorst and, Howard Beck, and they were saying that they just kind of wanted to, they used the term shake the trees and just sort of see what comes out. If he already knows he's not going to sign long-term with the Pelicans, I actually do think it's probably a good thing that he told them now, because like those guys were saying, you can kind of just sort of see what's out there now. The Pelicans have said in their, you know, response of a statement or whatever we want to call it, that they're not going to be rushed. They're not going to let outside sources and other teams dictate how they do this. But they would be crazy to not listen to the offers that are out there. And I'm sure they've already listened to some today. My initial thought is that it probably doesn't get done before the trade deadline. At this point, we're what, like 10 days away, 9 days really. So that's not a lot of time to put together a trade for a player that's arguably the best player in the NBA. And if they wait till the summer, it, like you said, it opens things up. Then you know who actually has the number one pick. You can deal with the Celtics, which is an interesting thing that I'm not even sure I knew about until today, that they couldn't have both Kyrie and AD on the roster because of a CBA provision. So I might be jumping ahead at this point, but I feel like unless they're just blown away by something in the next week and a half, they should probably wait till the summer.
And I think I'm with you there, because whatever offers you lose are probably coming from teams that he wouldn't come close to guaranteeing he would stay with long term. I'm talking about, and you know, who knows, maybe it could also help you. Here's my thing. So the Celtics, their offer should theoretically improve this summer unless he says he doesn't want to play for Boston, because they can't offer anything this summer. So they would help set the market. The Lakers offer, which should include whatever the fuck the Pelicans want, because I'm still a big Brandon Ingram believer. I like Josh Hart. I think Kyle Kuzma has adapted to the LeBron-led Lakers better than any of the Lakers youngsters. Lonzo Ball can still make plays defensively, and I would like to see what he could be as the lead ball handler somewhere. If they built a package around all those guys, they're still not giving up a top 75 player right now, in my mind. Brandon Ingram has not been great this season. Kyle Kuzma is probably playing the best basketball of any of those youngsters. And I don't think you could say he's a top 75 player in the league right now. So that offer isn't going anywhere. And so you look at you're going to get that Celtics offer. And then let's look at, I don't want to get too deep into it right now, but let's say a team like the Raptors was thinking about making an offer for Davis that includes Pascal Siakam and all their youngsters and whatever picks. If you wait there's a chance that, one, they're more likely to throw in the full boat because they've understood what happened with Kawhi Leonard. Like, if he's coming back, it makes it easier. It also opens up getting their 2020 draft pick as opposed to waiting for 2021. And there are other teams that could kind of fall under that. You know, maybe that's when Philly decides to include Ben Simmons, even though I'm not a fan of the – I don't want to see – I understand why the Nuggets, too, or the Sixers would want Davis. I don't want to see Davis, Jokic, or Davis Embiid. I'm not about it. So
I agree with both of those.
But waiting, I think, ultimately improves the offers. And again, it gives you a chance to see how the lottery shakes out. You're just looking at the teams. I know Brian Windhorst of ESPN said Davis doesn't want to play for Chicago, but they're a team that could get Zion Williamson. So are the Knicks. There are teams, even Phoenix. Like, we don't know. They could do something reckless. There are teams in play for the number one pick this year that aren't just going to get it if they did and say, we're not going to move it. So I think that becomes in play. And so I agree with you that I think they should wait unless they're blown away by an offer. I don't know where that offer is going to come from, though. That would really blow them away. And I think that's probably the question. What teams... here's a good question. What teams do you think should not make an Anthony Davis trade play right now? The teams that they're not necessarily that he wouldn't be intrigued by signing them, but maybe you don't like the fit there.
I'm with you on the Nuggets and the Sixers. I don't love the fit with either of those either. There's been a lot of talk about the Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis trade. I think probably ever since Bill Simmons brought it up a few weeks ago. I don't love that for Philadelphia. I think talent-wise, they probably work through whatever fit issues there are and are really good. But ultimately, Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis are both best at center.
Right.
So I just think it's wonky, and I don't love it. And it's, you know, the same thing with the Nuggets.
Do you think the cleaner fit would be Jokic and Davis? As opposed to Embiid and Davis?
Maybe a little bit cleaner, but – and please don't misunderstand me. They tried the dual bigs in Denver with Nurkic and Jokic, and obviously Nurkic is not close to Anthony Davis.
Right.
So, I mean, theoretically it should work better than that. But I think if your team is built around Jokic, you want four guys who can fly around the floor on both ends – of the floor. And not that Davis can't do that. I'm not sure he's not the perfect running mate for Nikola Jokic. And this seems extremely nitpicky because, like I said, he might be the best player in the NBA right now. So I would probably think that Philadelphia or Denver or other teams would probably just think, you know, fit might be weird, but we're going to get the best player in the NBA. So
right.
we got to figure out fit later. But I'm with you. I don't love those destinations. I do think I don't think the Lakers can offer the best package, but if that's where he ends up, that's a very, very intriguing combination for obvious reasons between him and LeBron. As far as your question, teams I think should not go after him. It's a big chunk of the league just because if I was in a front office, I would just be really scared to sign someone when there's so little chance that they're going to – or to trade for someone when there's so little chance they're going to re-sign. I know Paul George bucked the trend, and maybe some small market teams can talk themselves into we can sell our situation the way the Thunder did to George. I just think that's going to be an outlier historically. I don't see that happening with Anthony Davis, and I just don't think it's – a very typical course of events. So if you're not on that short list of teams, and maybe he hasn't specifically released a list yet, but I think we can all kind of guess what his list would be. If you're not one of those attractive, big sort of markets, it would be really, really scary to throw your chips on the table.
Yeah. And I would also think that even teams that maybe you could talk yourselves into saying, hey, perhaps he resigns there, but they have to short circuit rebuilds. Brooklyn is one that springs to mind for me. They can offer, they have the salary filler. And if you build something around, it doesn't even have to be D'Angelo Russell, because when I evaluate trades, this might be different from the way teams do. I don't necessarily, if I have to give out a superstar, I don't necessarily want people back that I immediately have to pay. But if they, I mean, I wouldn't put him off the table, certainly, in Anthony Davis trade talks. But you could build stuff around Kurucs, Caris LeVert. You have the salary filler, Jared Allen, because you're getting a big. I just don't – that seems too risky for teams that are they would be the team that, yes, I think Davis could be a good fit there. I don't necessarily think that he would 100% leave, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to see them short-circuit the rebuild. The Bulls are another one for me just because I don't think any deal gets done without including both Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. If you can move only one of them, maybe, but then in that scenario, you're probably giving up a 2021 unprotected first-round pick. I'm talking about just this season. If you're getting him this season, or even if it's this summer, are you giving up 2022? And I don't think the Bulls' track record suggests that he's going to stay if he actually wants to contend. And so then that later pick could end up making the trade because they could end up being so bad that it would be incredibly high. I've seen people kick around the Charlotte Hornets on Twitter. And if you include Miles Bridges with Cody Zeller, a pick and some filler, maybe Malik Monk too, definitely intriguing. Miles Bridges isn't too important to that future to give up to me. That's not saying he's not worth Anthony Davis, and there might be some pluses to getting off the Cody Zeller deal. He's a solid player, but probably a touch overpaid given the center market, maybe even hugely overpaid, and it doesn't seem like he can stay healthy. I don't see Davis staying in Charlotte to play with Kemba Walker. That's not a shot against Kemba Walker. I think Kemba Walker needs to leave Charlotte. I understand why the Hornets don't want to move him and why they would want to re-sign him. I want to see Kemba Walker with some help. Those would just be the three teams that I could see kind of coming into trade talks. I don't think the Nets will, but just as people mentioning them, they could try and party crash negotiations, and I don't think that they should, in addition to Denver and Philly.
Did you see the Bloggable tweet at Bulls Blocker? I guess this must have come from a podcast that Windhorst was on today, but I guess he said one of the worst kept secrets in the NBA is Anthony Davis does not want to play in Chicago, his hometown.
Yeah, I heard that on the Low Post today that he was on.
And maybe, you know, that's not necessarily like set in stone true, but it's certainly out there. The Bulls were a team that a lot of people were sort of thrown around. If you had to guess, is he on the Pelicans after the trade deadline?
Yes. I did predict that on a previous podcast, and you kind of seemed, I don't want to use blown away, but you were a little bit shocked when you asked me, will Davis be on the Pelicans next year? And I just said no. And you were like, really? He clearly won't be there next season.
Yeah, that's...
Do you have him play again? Oh, actually, same question to you first.
That's what I was going to go with next, yeah. Actually. So I would agree with you. I think he probably is on the Pelicans after the trade deadline because, like we've both said now, I think it opens up a lot more in the summer if they can hold off until then. However, that that leads to another interesting question. What do they do with him for the rest of the season? Do you send him home like the Grizzlies did with Tyreke Evans last year? Do you ask him to play through it? Do you blow up the rest of the team? Try to find value for guys like Jrue Holiday, Nikola Mirotic, Julius Randle. I think the ramifications of this trade request going public could potentially just be huge.
Yeah, so I wouldn't play him. That's the one thing I wouldn't do. His trade value, it's not going down if you don't play him. Like, that's just not happening. And you need to tank then. I understand that now you're in a market that isn't necessarily going to welcome a long-term rebuild, but for just this season, it's over. Because what is getting to the playoffs going to do for you, even if you can? And first of all, that's a long shot at this point. Anthony Davis is still injured, and they're now six games off the eight spot. That's just out of the question. The problem is, of course, with tanking, they're also 12.5 games off of the worst record, which is owned by the Cleveland Cavaliers at this point. They could definitely out-tank the Pistons and the Wizards, but when it comes to the Magic, the Grizzlies, the Hawks, Bulls, Suns, Knicks, and Cavs, they're probably not. Maybe the Magic, and that's only if they don't trade Vooch at the deadline. So that's certainly something to consider. As for the rest of the roster, it really depends on what they're trying to do in an Anthony Davis trade, which is something we have to consider as we get in potential trade packages. I could see them leaning towards the Kawhi Leonard style return, where the Spurs clearly wanted to stay relevant after the deal. And I think this is going to be a similar situation. Maybe they're more open to accepting young players, but that might only be because they should get more for Davis than the Spurs got for Kawhi Leonard. And so I would certainly look at moving Randall, because you don't have his bird rights. And I don't think that you should get into the habit of paying players substantial money when you are going to start just this new era. And again, they don't have his bird rights. Test his market. I'm the same way with Nikola Mirotic. I would keep Jrue Holiday. Etuan Moore, I'm on the fence about. Darius Miller, I think you look at the market. But you keep, for now, I would keep Jrue Holiday. Just because if you want to continue to stay relevant, you can pair him with a good to great player that you get back. And maybe you get a fringe all-star, like a Tobias Harris and an Anthony Davis trade. And so that's just a rebuilding point from. I would not completely blow it up. I wouldn't trade both Mirotic and Randall. I would trade one or the other. And I wouldn't necessarily trade Etuan Moore unless I'm getting back some picks, or maybe the team is taking back Solomon Hill as well, just because his contract is still close to a value contract, I would say, though he has cooled off this season. But I wouldn't go nuclear just yet, unless you are committed to a rebuild. I just don't think the Pelicans are going to try and completely blow this thing up and build it from the ground up right away.
The total bottom out strategy, it's always easier for guys like me to talk about it and advocate for it than it is to actually put it into practice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would be more than understandable if they wanted to hang on to Jrue Holiday. Did you see his quote though today about
that AD was 90% of the reason he stayed?
Gosh, that's got to be tough to handle for Pelicans management, Pelicans fans.
Here's the thing with that though. I agree. And if they do decide to shop him, there will be teams out there that want him. His contract only takes him, I think, through his age 31 season, if I'm not mistaken. So he's going to be firmly in his prime for the entirety of it. Maybe you could get some really nice offers from the Jazz or eventually the Pacers this summer if they think that Victor Oladipo is going to make a full recovery. There will be teams out there that I think would give them a lot. You don't have to worry about Jrue Holiday leaving. The dude is under contract. He's signed through. He's a player option for $26.9 million in 21-22 that he might pick up. So you have him for at least two more seasons. There's no pressure to move him. And if you do try and compete after the Davis trade and it doesn't work out, he's still going to have at least a season plus that player option that he could very well pick up to go through.
Who do you think has more trade value between him and Mike Conley?
I would say him. I'm going to say Jrue Holiday, just because he's younger, and I know he's had injury problems in the past, but he's been durable for them these past two seasons. Better size at 6'4". He's 28. And so I think I would pretty clearly pick him.
Holiday's younger than I thought he was. You're right. He's 28 and Mike Conley's 31. I was thinking Holiday before I even looked up those ages. But that makes it even more of an easy decision in my mind. One weird thing about Jrue Holiday over the last few years, his three-point percentage.
That's, I was thinking the same thing.
For the last four seasons, it's 33.9, and this season it's 32.7. Every season before that four-year stretch, it was 37.6. And he had a couple years up around 39, 38. If he could shoot even like average from three, I think it would help his value quite a bit. But even where he's at, 32.7% this season, he still has an effective field goal percentage comfortably over 50. He's averaging 21 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. His defense has been well documented over the last couple of years. If they can stomach a full blown, like, let's blow it up and rebuild all the way, whatever team winds up with him could be in really good shape. I know Jazz fans are like the zombies from World War Z. going after fake trades for him right now. I think like half of the tweets I've sent out today have had some form of a Drew Holiday response.
Ironically, it becomes a lot harder for them to trade for him after this season.
Yeah, I think if it makes a lot of sense to pounce on him now. And I'm sure the Pelicans are getting a ton of calls, not just about Anthony Davis, but I bet you a bunch of GMs have already gotten a hold of them. What's going on with Drew Holiday? What's going on with Julius Randle? Miritich's name is probably coming up again. This is like an organization shaking announcement that happened this morning. So
I thought just occurred. Well, all right. So really quick on the Drew Holiday front. I don't know if this helps. My one theory is maybe he's just so gassed from the defense that he's had to play in New Orleans that's affecting his jump shot. He is this season shooting 37.5% on catch and shoot threes and 36.2% on wide open threes. Those aren't great numbers for those marks, but they're good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The other thought that just occurred to me, maybe it makes more sense for them to move Miritich than Randle, just because is there a chance that either one, Randall's non-bird rights, which are going to give him 120% of his salary this season, are enough to keep him, in which case, just because the market for bigs is always so weird, as well as Randall's play, he's still a defensive liability, so you would only be keeping him at a $10.3 million starting price point. Or could he maybe opt in and say, if I'm going to be the guy on this team after Anthony Davis is leaves, I'm going to be able, my value is just going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's an opt-out and just signs the 1 year, one plus one again. So maybe Miritich, just as someone who is a restricted free agent and probably wants the long-term deal is never going to be the guy on your team like Randle would because of what he can do as a playmaker, maybe it makes more sense to move Miritich over Randle.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Randle has a player option next season?
Yeah, 9.1. If he's I don't see a scenario in which he would pick it up, but maybe it's, you know, like kind of what Rudy Gay did this summer with the Spurs. You know, you opt out and then you just reset. He signed a 1 year deal, but maybe you could do another one plus one. And so I don't know how much more than $10.3 million is he going to get on the open market?
Randle?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the open market this year is there is a lot of it.
I'm just trying to think of what's the team that's going to give him
the offer. Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think Brooklyn would do it. I don't see Dallas doing it.
I think there would have been more than 10, either one of those teams. Maybe something in like the 15, that's 16 fair. Range. But I never really thought about him as like the guy after Anthony Davis leaves either, which is also interesting to me. I guess it would depend on your team construction, but which one has more value between those two?
My guess would be Miritich, just because the combo wing type players seem to have more value. And I also think it helps that you get him and you have full bird rights, as opposed to with Randle, you're going to have non-bird rights.
Yeah. My opinion on Julius Randle has changed a lot over the last 2 years. I think he has somewhat quietly become pretty good. It wasn't quite last year because he was on the Lakers and they talk about all their guys plenty. but this year he's flown under the radar, I think, a little bit. I've already kind of like spaced your original question, so I'm sorry. Was it which one do I think they would be more likely to move?
Well, I guess that's the question, but I'm just wondering if it would make more sense to move Miritich and then try and pitch Randle on.
I think so. Yeah. I think Randle, while Miritich might fit a lot of teams better right now, Randle is more of a guy that I think you could see yourself building a team around. And it's kind of a depressing thought for a team to go from Anthony Davis to Julius Randle as their number one, but that's just kind of the reality the Pelicans are faced with now.
Yeah. And so I think that kind of, unless we've like missed any angles of like the non-specific trade packages front, I think that kind of gets us into the teams that are going to actually make offers for him. And so I don't know how much thought you've put into the packages. I had to write about some of them today for Bleacher Report. The Lakers one, I think they're the team that we start with. The package I came up with, there was a report from, let's start there, the Los Angeles Times' Brad Turner, that the Lakers have to start the deal with Lonzo Ball, Kuzma, Zubac, and a number one pick if they want Davis. We need to emphasize start the deal.
Yeah. Send me the – oh, okay, I just found it. I was going to ask you to send me the link to that article because I want to pull those up, but I found it.
The deal that I came up with was Lonzo Ball, KCP, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Zubac, and a first for Davis, Frazier, and Johnson. And this is actually what I said in there. If the Pelicans want Josh Hart or Ball, there are other permutations that you can build with this deal. And the Lakers should not, to me, be beyond throwing in a 2021 first-round pick if that's what the Pelicans demand as part of that trade. I just don't think their prospects have that shine anymore. And they have to be willing to give up close to every – I think the goal should be you want to keep one of those four young players and your 2021 first-round pick, but you should be willing to trade one or the other of those two assets that I just mentioned. A lot of Lakers fans, I think, will flinch at that. I get it, and it does hurt them in their pursuit of a third superstar because the order of events matter. At the same time, I have the Lakers at about, with this package, they would end up between $27 million and $28 million in cap space, and there would be other mechanisms for them to go out there and get more, or because they're going to have all that space, you can build these lopsided trades. In free agency if other players become available to be had. So that would be something to consider. You've already missed on Paul George by waiting. You can't let that happen again, particularly when we're talking about Anthony freaking Davis.
I think that's really going to influence their thinking, and it probably should. What happened with Paul George this summer, if you can get this out of the way now, I think you probably got to do it. This is the third or fourth time I've said this in this podcast, but there's a decent argument to make that he's the best player in the league right now. Statistically, by a few different metrics, he has been. And so if you can go out and get that now and erase any of the mystery and question marks that come with free agency or that come with other teams getting in the mix, you have to do it. And the thing about that package, it may sound like a lot on paper. Who among that Lakers core are we sure is going to be like a superstar player?
There's no one. You know how I feel about Brandon Ingram.
Level, because I don't think any of them are close to Anthony Davis level potential. But just to be like a superstar or even an all-star, I'm not sure we can have a lot of confidence in any of them. I still have a lot of hope for Lonzo Ball. I'm probably highest on him of the group. I'm lukewarm on Brandon Ingram, and I'd say I'm probably lukewarm, maybe a little bit warmer than that on Kyle Kuzma, but I wouldn't put money on the fact that any of those guys are going to be all-stars.
And
you're getting Anthony Davis back.
And I think what speaks to how uncertain, and that would probably be putting it kindly, to the value of the Lakers youngsters, I don't think this package is enough to get the Pelicans to move Anthony Davis right now. If I'm the Pelicans, was the best package that was out there, I'm waiting until the summer to see what Boston's going to give me.
Yeah. I think that would be totally fair of the Pelicans, unless there's somebody in that front office that just loves Brandon Ingram or just loves Lonzo Ball. I mean, every once in a while, there's stuff like that happens in the NBA that leads to some trades that you just didn't see happen, like the Sacramento Kings, and it should come with the caveat that it's the Kings, but they loved Buddy Hield. And all of a sudden, Buddy Hield is a Sacramento King and DeMarcus Cousins is a New Orleans Pelican. So every once in a while, maybe you'll get sort of some random champion for a young prospect in a front office. But I think I would agree with you that their best play is going to be to wait until the summer.
And the other thing one of the things of why they should also wait until the summer, if they don't know what's going to happen with – I don't blame general manager Del Demps for everything that's happened in New Orleans. I feel like they need to overhaul the decision-making above him. But whatever they're going to do, whether it's change the coach, change the general manager, overhaul the front office, that's why you wouldn't move Anthony Davis midseason. Unless you're married to this front office structure, you don't want them charged with making the most important trade in franchise history. This is more important than the Chris Paul trade now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the other thing to consider. And also about this package or anything the Lakers put together, and the Celtics, this is an issue with Jaylen Brown, but they have other stuff to make the deal look better. Getting Brandon Ingram, you have a year before you need to pay him in restricted free agency. It's the same thing with Jaylen Brown. At least with this applies to Tatum, it would apply to Siakam, it would apply to Ball himself too, but Ball makes a ton of money because he was drafted higher. You have those two-year wiggle room to get a guy, and then again, like I said, have to turn around and pay him in a year. If it works out, great. But what if it doesn't?
Yeah. It's tough.
I'm going to move on to the Chicago Bulls one that I came up with. And this is me noting that I don't think they should get in the trade sweepstakes if they have to give up both Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. I understand why you would if Davis said, hey, I'm going to stay here. The trade I came up with was Wendell Carter Jr., Chandler Hutchinson, Jabari Parker, a 2019 first round pick, unprotected, a 2020 second round pick from Memphis. That Justin Holiday trade was bad for Memphis, by the way. And a 2021 first round pick with top five protection for Ian Clark, Anthony, who must consent to any trade, Anthony Davis, and Tim Frazier. The last note I want to make is why we're going to see the same throw in names. People need to stop proposing like the 5-for-1. 5-for-2 deals, 5-for-3. I know the Pelicans have guys they could waive, but the 5-for-3 deals are probably the limit I'm going to, just because the rosters for both sides have to be at no more than 15 at the end of each trade. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the caveat that you already laid out is big. You would need to know whether or not he has any desire to stay in Chicago before you made a deal like that. You know, you and I have talked a lot about Wendell Carter Jr. over the last calendar year, basically. I think he has a ton of potential. But if basically everything else, I mean, you could make an argument about the value of the picks. But I don't think Chicago would be kicking itself over losing Chandler Hutchinson and Jabari Parker.
You're the only one who's going to be kicking himself over not having Jabari Parker on your team.
I'm the only one that's still trying to.
Well, you tweeted out last week the gif of like when I start thinking about how good Jabari Parker could be again or whatever it said, I died.
I just latch onto these players and never give up hope. Like, I'm still waiting for the one random Michael Beasley breakout season. It's coming, I promise. But anyway, yeah, it just comes down to what sort of commitment you could get from Anthony Davis. You know, that just makes me think of something too that we didn't hit on. The whole tampering aspect of this is interesting too. The only way a lot of these teams can really talk themselves into going after Davis is if they can get some kind of assurance before the deal is made that he'll stay, which is tampering. It's interesting. I was happy that the Pelicans put that in their statement, that we really want the league to try and enforce these rules. I don't know how they enforce them. I think it's going to continue to go on for a long time, and I'm off on a tangent now, but I just thought that was interesting that that's become such a big part of this discussion.
Well, that was primarily aimed at the Lakers, right?
Had to have been. Yeah. So I agree.
I agree. I'm glad that they put it in there too. And it'd be really funny if Magic Johnson was fined again for it. And then what happens then if the Lakers do come to an agreement with the Pelicans to trade for him? Does it get vetoed by the league for basketball reasons? There'd
probably be another investigation, and then it would be crazy if they vetoed a trade. Can you imagine? I think Twitter would probably shut down. Like, their servers would overload.
Oh, yeah. I would be tweeting at least 20 tweets a minute if that happens.
Yeah, that would be crazy. My guess, if the Lakers get him, they'll probably just they'll say the NBA is investigating, and then like 2 months later say they didn't find anything.
If they did and it ended up costing them more first round picks after they gave up some in the Davis trade, that'd be hysterical too. I'm not rooting against the Lakers per se, but I think the Pelicans are smart to do, like you said, to put that in their statement.
Yeah, they put that out there for sure.
For the so that Bulls Pelicans trade, even for me, who's someone who doesn't think the Bulls should go hard after Davis, if you have Markkanen, Zach LaVine, even Chris Dunn, Anthony Davis, and then they would still have a path to max cap space this summer, those are good starting points that would make them intriguing. I would ask you, though, is this trade, or even if the Bulls were willing to say, we'll keep our 2021 selection and give you Markkanen, is this trade enough to force the Pelicans to make a move now?
No, I don't think so.
I think I'm with you there, too. Although I'm very interested, specific to Chicago and the Knicks, if you can get their pick this year and a 2021 pick, their track record suggests that that could end up being a very lucrative dice roll. If Davis leaves, those 2021 picks, but you could, like, top one protection, top five protection, whatever, that could be huge.
That would be one interesting that's a piece of calculus that the Pelicans should be considering. If you end up trading him to one of the teams that he's not going to re-sign with, that could end up being a real big win for the Pelicans.
The next team up, Los Angeles Clippers. The package I came up with was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tobias Harris, Jerome Robinson, Teodosic, a 2019 second-round pick, and a 2021 first-round pick, unprotected and contingent upon an obligation to Boston. Because Los Angeles, they are complicated. The Clippers are a complicated trade partner because they don't have this year's first-round pick, and they're so close to the luxury tax. Okay, they'd be willing to pay it for Anthony Davis, but they can't offer New Orleans any real salary cap relief. So it was, to just rehash, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tobias Harris, Jerome Robinson, Teodosic, a 2019 second-round pick, and a 2021 first-round pick for Clark, Davis, Frazier, and Frank Jackson. I don't think I'd need a long justification, but this is a trade, if you're the Pelicans, that I think helps you straddle two timelines, because Tobias Harris is a free agent this summer, but he doesn't turn 27 until July. He's another one of those players that are kind of sneakily young, mm-hmm. and he's playing like a fringe all-star this season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is already good and has the potential to be great. So those are two centerpieces, and if you're getting another first-round pick, but my gut would say, overwhelmingly, this is not enough for the Pelicans to make a move now, which would then remove the Clippers from the sweepstakes, unless it's going to be a signed trade with Tobias. But if you're going to move him this season and you don't want to go for the full-on rebuild type of thing, Tobias Harris and SGA are an interesting centerpiece combination.
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly as sort of a straddling timelines sort of a move. The Clippers come up every time something like this happens. What do you make of them as like the next potential super team? Because every time I hear stuff like this, I don't know if it's just like my youth influencing it when the Clippers were such a joke for so long, but I have a really hard time believing, that a collection of superstars is going to end up on the Clippers.
Here's my thought on that.
My stuff is as serious as they think it is. I don't think Anthony Davis would re-sign with the Clippers. Like I wouldn't be shocked if he just left one LA team to go to another when his free agency was there. And again, maybe it's just
that degree you don't have a faith in them.
Wow. and again, maybe it's just my teenage years watching the NBA influencing this, and that's probably not fair. But I just hear it come up every single time. And honestly, there's maybe two or three teams in the league that I buy as like the next super team. Lakers, Celtics, I think a lot of people thought they were already a super team. I wasn't there yet. But ultimately, I just don't know if I'd buy the Clippers noise.
I don't buy the Clippers noise because it's going to be a lot harder for them to get to max cap space for two superstars than people realize. If you renounce all your own free agents, you waive Avery Bradley, so he's going to have $2 million there, you're getting about $55 million and change, less than that, more than $50 million. You need to get off of Gallo's money to have dual max room. And that's, there will be people who are trading for Gallo and maybe absorb him into cap space. But now you're in a situation where, okay, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Jerome Robinson plus two superstars. I don't know that that's the core that's going to draw into. Now, that being said, I'm not as low as them on the sense that if they got an Anthony Davis, I don't necessarily think that he would leave. I think there would be a real chance of them keeping him because they do have, they have financial flexibility moving forward. I guess if you don't have Gilgeous-Alexander and Tobias Harris there, the calculus sort of changes. But I do like what that front office has done, the way they've transitioned away from Doc Rivers having that president role and things haven't blown up there. Their owner and Steve Ballmer is great and aggressive and engaged. I get your concern overall, but I think if they had a superstar or acquired one in this situation, I don't think they're any less likely to keep him than the Raptors would be to keep Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, they're certainly a much better organized team than they were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So maybe
it only takes one too, right? So if
they're
probably not going to trade for Davis. If Kawhi Leonard actually leaves Toronto to go sign there, that changes everything.
Yeah, that too. Another reason for the Pelicans to just wait. So you can see how everything,
the landscape sort of unfolds
this summer. Yeah. And it changes, it changes everyone's offers too when stuff like that happens. There's a chance he gets moved before the trade deadline, but the more we talk, the more I just think, yeah, they're going to have to wait.
Well, this is one of the few deals that I think if I'm the Pelicans, I might be compelled to move Davis now. It's the Knicks, which maybe that's some fandom bias leaking through from my days that I spent as rooting for them, but Pelicans get Tim Hardaway Jr., Kevin Knox, Frank Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, this year's first, unprotected, second-round pick from Charlotte in 2020, and a 2021 first-round pick, top one protection for Davis, Frazier, and Wesley Johnson. My hottest take on this, and I'm not even sure if it's a hot take, if I'm the Pelicans, I don't want Kristaps Porzingis. He's recovering from a torn left ACL and is probably going to receive max money in free agency. Even if you wanted to pay him max money, should he be healthy, he's just not going to have the sample size for you to justify making that investment. And from the Knicks' perspective, then, if they're giving up Kristaps Porzingis, who they view as their franchise cornerstone, they view him as the centerpiece and are less likely to include other stuff then. And so I think their offers without him are more compelling. And so with this deal, and I know you're looking at it, so it's easier for you to digest than everyone else, but Tim Hardaway Jr., eating his money isn't great, but he's like a good guy to have on a tanking team because he's going to put up points without harshing your draft pick vibes. And, you know, he can also be, if he ends up being your fourth best player or fifth best player in the next 2 years, he's someone who can theoretically help your offense. And so you have him, that's the money you're eating, but you're just getting, Kevin Knox looks like he's going to be a good player. Frank Ntilikina and Jrue Holiday would be an interesting fit in the backcourt, albeit not the, like, defensively, they would be absurd, not the best one for floor spacing. Mitchell Robinson could instantly start at center for them. And then you're getting two more first round picks. And we don't, the 2019 one could be, it's probably going to be top five or top six. And again, if I'm the Pelicans, I would be willing to bet that New York loses Anthony Davis. I'm not even saying the Knicks should make this deal. People gave me shit on Twitter saying it was too much for New York. They're not getting him for less unless he says, I want to go to the Knicks, and that's it.
Yeah. What do you think about Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina value-wise?
So Ntilikina's tough because if you look at him with what he's done on the Knicks, his contract is actually a negative value contract. And you could argue that Alonzo Trier would hold more value over the summer when he could be traded, which is fine. Yeah. I want to see him in a different situation that's going to be committed to playing him and give him a more consistent offensive role. You can't, the jump shot stuff I get, but you can't ask him to develop into a facilitator or a good cutter or just any sort of offensive player when you're not trying to saddle him with a semi-consistent offensive identity. I think Kevin Knox is going to be really good if he can be on a team that will groom him properly, and I will never trust the Knicks to to develop players. They always have these nice stories. Alonzo Trier is one of them. They never end up keeping these guys, or they never end up seeing these development projections through. Kristaps Porzingis is the closest they've really come in a long time, and he's just one of those players that, can you say that he drastically improved last season before he was injured? Maybe. But he's also just one of those players that might be so good, his improvement comes in spite of the Knicks anyway, not because of them at least.
Yeah. This one's interesting because I mentioned earlier that we all probably can kind of guess which teams he might re-sign with, and I think it's the Lakers. I think the Celtics are a possibility there, and I think the Knicks are a possibility there as well.
Oh, you do? I don't. I'm actually pitching this under the assumption that he would leave New York.
For some reason, and maybe it's because I haven't paid as close attention to the Knicks as you have over the last few years, but I still feel like there's some draw.
I guess if they,
why I still think Durant might go there.
Yeah, so that would be the other thing. So after this trade, they'd have enough money after they waive Lance Tomlinson this season, this off season before June 30th, to go after a Kyrie Irving or a Kawhi Leonard, and then if they found a taker for Courtney Lee's expiring salary, they would have the Kevin Durant level money. That if they get that other superstar and Kristaps Porzingis is healthy, that obviously changes. But just we talk about the Celtics and the Lakers as teams he'd re-sign with. I would probably put three or four teams ahead of the Knicks.
Wow.
When ranking whether he would re-sign with them. I just don't, that organization is, the front office has acted more judiciously over the past couple seasons. I just think the franchise is that broken, and there's the Kevin Durant noise is real. It's also, to me, overstated. So, and it's not, if they get him, one, great for the Knicks fans who've endured too much crap. The franchise itself, though, has done nothing to deserve Kevin Durant. They haven't positioned themselves perfectly because they still have to get off money. The Joakim Noah stretch, that whole thing is just a disaster. So that's just how I'm sort of looking at it. And so if I'm the Pelicans, knowing what the Knicks have been capable of, if I can get Kevin Knox and this year's first round pick and 2021, that might be the impetus I need to make a deal this season. I understand if you or anyone else would say, because I kind of totter on the edge too, no, you know what, wait for Boston. See what happens this offseason.
I would probably wait still if I'm New Orleans. And I'm just not as high on Kevin Knox as a lot of other people are. Mitchell Robinson is like the crown jewel of that package to me. Maybe the 2021 first round pick if Davis leaves. And I will also clarify what I said earlier. I think the Lakers are the only team I would be really confident that he would re-sign with. In fact, I'm like 99% sure he would. the Celtics, I'm semi-confident. I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics traded for him if he just went to the Lakers anyway, and the same with the Knicks. But they're two teams I could see a world in which he stayed.
The other thing that we really didn't note, though, is that if you were going to trade him this season, it's probably key to get back two first-round picks, because whatever pick you're getting this season is going to be directly devalued by Davis playing for that team this year.
I thought that actually when you were going over that Knicks trade. Right now it looks pretty good, but if Davis were playing out the rest of the season there in the Eastern Conference, that could quickly become like 10 or 11. So, I mean, that would change a lot.
Yeah, they're probably still winding up with – I mean, the bottom three teams have the same lottery odds. They're probably still winding up with one of the five worst records just because there's so much. I don't think Davis is going to make up by himself. Look at the talent that would be around him after this trade. He's not making up they're like six games in front of the Hawks or behind the Hawks, however you want to put it, in the loss column. Again, I would understand waiting for Boston. The reason to wait for Boston then, though, I guess, is you're hoping for the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown special. That you're hoping Tatum eventually becomes in play.
And I know there's some debate about this, but I think Boston would be crazy to make him completely off limits.
Yeah, I'm with you. Unless Davis,
that's like, it's kind of oxymoronic to what I said earlier. I mean, if there's a big chance that Davis leaves as soon as he's a free agent, then you look pretty stupid if you gave up Jason Tatum.
Yeah, it's not even, to me, it's not even if Anthony Davis says he wants to re-sign with the Lakers. If Davis says, I won't re-sign with the Celtics, that's the only way I would make Tatum off limits. And I know there's reports out there now that say Boston's not his preferred destination. But that's the I would need ironclad info that it's not that he's interested in the Lakers, it's that he doesn't want to play for Boston.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The two last trades I have, the Spurs, and this is just in the realm of if the Pelicans want to go the Kawhi Leonard trade package route. DeMar DeRozan. The
exact Kawhi Leonard trade package route.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan, Bryn Forbes, Lonnie Walker, and then both first round picks this year from San Antonio, unprotected, and then the one from Toronto. They could also try and see if they could get, if they really wanted to, see if the Spurs would include their 2020 pick, and then you let them keep this season and just give Toronto's, or you could try and get them to give you a 2021 first round pick instead of Toronto's this year. And then the Spurs would get Wesley Johnson, Tim Frazier, Anthony Davis. That's just, I'm looking at this from New Orleans' perspective of saying we want to remain relevant. I don't know how far you get with a team that has DeMar DeRozan and Drew Holiday as your primary guys, but Lonnie Walker was a lottery level prospect that the Spurs picked up outside the lottery. Bryn Forbes has some off the dribble flair. Maybe you hit on one of those two first round picks that you're getting. That would just be if you're looking. DeMar DeRozan has two more years left on his contract after this one. I believe the final one's a player option, but that's one that maybe he opts out of, or maybe he's willing to stay. Because if who knows what the Lakers look like at that point? He has that $27.7 million player option in 2020-21. If you're looking to remain relevant, that would just be one that they could explore. The Spurs never make midseason trades, though, let alone a blockbuster one.
Yeah. And I guess maybe you could bank on the infrastructure of the Spurs to sell him on staying there as opposed to going to the Lakers. But yeah, that the move from Anthony Davis to DeRozan would be it's just a massive, massive downgrade.
I'm 100% with you, and it's complicated by. Maybe you could get the Spurs to give you DeJounte Murray, but he's injured now and extension eligible. What do you do with that?
Yeah. I think it's another package where it's just like,
wait,
if this calling off that, you just say, well, that sounds good, but I think we're probably just going to wait till the summer.
Here's one to me that gets super interesting. Oh, the Pelicans get, this is a trade with the Raptors, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, 2021 first round pick. It could be unprotected. It could be top three protected for Anthony Davis and Darius Miller.
So I think the Raptors situation is a little different than some of these teams because they've already kind of taken the gamble with Kawhi Leonard.
Was it that? Go ahead. Sorry.
If you feel like this, you're essentially doubling down.
Was it a gamble, though, the Kawhi Leonard one? Yes, he could leave, but you could argue that DeRozan's money was bad for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is more of a gamble than the Kawhi Leonard one. The Kawhi Leonard one, you didn't have to give up as much as I think a lot of people expected. It's just a gamble in the sense that he might leave. This one, now, you have another superstar who's, you know, could possibly leave, but you're also emptying out the farm system, so to speak. They got away with just Jakob Poeltl, who's good. But if you had to give up Siakam and Anunoby and a first and DeLon Wright, I mean, all three of those guys are good. And I think the oldest one is Wright, and he's, what, 26?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a lot, but I think you could – I could see a world in which the Raptors could talk themselves into it and say, we are just 1,000% in on this season. We think we can beat the Warriors. If we have Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, I guess Serge Ibaka would still be starting in that situation. Their bench would be decimated. But their bench hasn't been as good as it was last year anyway. I mean, if that's your top five, and you're rolling with like a 7 or 8 player rotation in the playoffs, that's a very, very real challenger for the Warriors.
They're another team that could just wait and make some version, some variation of this offer in the summer. DeLon Wright is going to be restricted free agent, so you remove him, but maybe you include Fred VanVleet instead. And yeah, it's just the same package. You just send more money back from the Pelicans, who Darius Miller would be a free agent at that point too. Totally workable there. And if Kawhi Leonard comes back, that's a play that I absolutely make, as good as Pascal Siakam is. The sort of catch-22 there is, Toronto's 2021 first-round pick has way more value now than it would over the summer in a scenario in which Kawhi Leonard returns, unless you think that there's still a big chance Davis leaves. So you might have to include another first-round pick on top of that. Or again, maybe the package, and this isn't the exact one, because again, there'd have to be filler going more than Davis going to Toronto, but Anunoby, Siakam, Valanciunas, Fred VanVleet, and a first-round pick, maybe that's enough to get it done at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's another one that's intriguing, but at the same time, I think we're both probably just leaning towards they'd have to wait until the summer.
Would you put I'm like looking to see if there's like any other like young player on the roster that's intriguing, but that's like, this is their full boat. So
yeah, that's like the Godfather offer right there.
The one before, I wanted to ask you one question about Boston, but before I did that, do you think the Wizards are a team that should stay away from the Davis trade sweepstakes? They have this built-in centerpiece with Bradley Beal, who more than helps you straddle two timelines, under contract for two more years after this one, and I believe he doesn't turn 26 until June. Yeah, so he doesn't turn 26 until June. If you're the Wizards, I'm steering clear of it. Davis is staying in Washington.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he would resign with the Wizards. I would much rather hang on to Bradley Beal and see if I could get off John Wall and Otto Porter's contracts, or at least John Wall's, as difficult as that's going to be.
Yeah, I figured you'd be on the same page with that. So for Boston, what are you giving up for Davis over the summer? What is the package for you?
Let me pull up their roster real quick.
You can go Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Smart, and picks.
Yes. I would probably do that. But again, it comes down to how confident are you in him staying. Have you heard the rumblings about Gordon Hayward? Like, would they include Gordon Hayward in an Anthony? Obviously, they would include Gordon Hayward in an Anthony Davis deal. I don't know why New Orleans would be interested in that at all.
Yeah, if Gordon Hayward was the player that Boston signed before he got injured, then why not? You know, you get 2 years of him, and he would be able to anchor a playoff team. But he is not a top 100 player this year yet. And look, he's coming back from a big injury. I think Boston does it in a heartbeat. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't. They were even talking about that on that Zach Lowe podcast, and I'm with you. I don't know why New Orleans.
He would have to be some kind of spectacular for the rest of the season for that to really work.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe he suddenly does get his confidence back and his legs feel strong all of a sudden. But
and the package I outlined there, if Boston wasn't going to include Jason Tatum, it is going to take, just think of how many salaries they have to, you're looking at Smart and Jaylen Brown together are going to take care of, I think it's like $17 million of Davis's $27 million salary. You have to include more pieces in there because the Celtics are going to profile as a tax team with Kyrie Irving, even if even if Al Horford opts out. So it's like at that point, it almost just becomes difficult to make a deal without Tatum involved.
Yeah. Smart, Tatum, and Brown add up almost perfectly.
Yeah, so I was wrong about Smart and Brown. Their salary is actually $19.1 million. So it wouldn't take too much, I guess, but you almost have to include Yabu Selle in there, and then you still need another salary to make it work.
Yeah. Well, after Marcus Smart's salary, they get small pretty quick. And after Brown's salary, for what's still on the 2019-2020 books, Baines has a player option for $5 million. Yabusele is guaranteed for $3 million. Robert Williams guaranteed for $2 million. Shemi Ogilvie and Jabari Bird each guaranteed for about $1.5 million. Who knows what'll happen with Jabari Bird? With what's going on with him, I can't imagine his name being in any trade talks.
Right.
So, yeah, I, it's almost like you said, it's almost like you have to include Tatum and Brown just to make the economics of it work.
You could
unless you find a way to get off one of those huge contracts like Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, you could, in theory, go Smart, Brown, Yabusele, and Robert Williams and picks. Or maybe, I don't even think you need, I'm checking the math right now really quick. I don't even think you need Yabusele. You could go with a Semi Ojeleye, and it, you, yeah, all right. So you could do Semi, Robert Williams, and Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown for Davis. And those salaries just, it's the 4-for-1. It's easier to work over the offseason. And then you include picks. That would be the, and I'm giving, you give the Kings pick in that situation, whoever it turns out to be. And then you're going to have, you're probably going to have the Clippers pick. You probably have to include the Memphis pick at that point. We're assuming Memphis keeps theirs. Are you doing that then? Those four players plus Memphis's pick plus the Kings pick?
If you're New Orleans, you don't do that without Jason Tatum, right?
That package? I don't. Memphis's pick. I don't know. Isn't it top six protected for next year?
I just feel like if Tatum's not involved, that's an offer that can be beaten by somebody else.
That's totally fair. And then so we've already gotten to that level with those four players, those two picks. Then what are you including? The Clippers pick. You have Boston's has all their own picks. Is Boston giving up a 2020 pick? Its own 2019 pick probably won't be too valuable, or maybe it will be if they're going to finish fifth in the East. And so you're looking at a number 20 pick or something like that. I guess that's how you have to build from there. That package could get super complicated.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, just about any one of these teams could offer the world and just have Anthony Davis for one season.
And this might be the best way to frame this. The Celtics, I think, can by far and away offer the best package. I don't know if what they're going to offer ultimately ends up being the best package. It all hinges on Jason Tatum to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. Do you have anything else on this, or can we get a, you already said he's going to be on the Pelicans for the rest of the season. Where do you think, if you had to guess, Davis ultimately ends up?
He's going to be on the Lakers at some point in the next, 7 months, 8 months?
Okay, trade destinations, I'm going to give you Lakers, Boston, or the field, specifically for trade.
I'm going to still go Lakers because I think they're going to apply a little bit more leverage at some point.
I'm going to go with the field. I'm taking the field here. I think Boston's going to be worried about Davis leaving, which is fine, and won't include Tatum. Or they'll try and do an either or situation with Brown or Tatum. Maybe that, if you're getting Tatum, maybe there's something there. But I just think the Lakers package is so underwhelming that if you're not getting Boston's best offer, I think you could go out and find a team that's willing to roll the dice on Anthony Davis and give you a better package for him than what Los Angeles is going to look like.
I think that's fair. This will be one that I'm sure we pay very
about everything on. Yeah. Cool.
How many episodes did we at least touch on the Kawhi Leonard stuff last season?
It was just recurring. We always had these new notes on Kawhi Leonard. It's been nice. We haven't had a talk about the Davis stuff has always been out there, but we've avoided talking about it.
Yeah.
Hooray for
and
us.
I guess if he's not traded at the deadline and they just shut him down, maybe that'll allow us to skip it here and there, but I'm sure you guys will hear from us again on the Anthony Davis front. I have little doubt of that. Did you have anything else you wanted to hit?
No, I'm just looking because you say shutting down Anthony Davis and how far I think the Pelicans could tank.
Yeah.
They have, I think the Pistons and Wizards, they could definitely out tank. To be determined on the Magic and Grizzlies. I'm going to say no on the Hawks, Bulls, Suns, Knicks, and Cavs.
Yeah, they're not catching that bottom group. But if you want to hit us up on Twitter and talk to us about this Anthony Davis madness, you of course can do that. Dan's at Dan Favale, Favale. I'm at Andrew D. Bailey. The show is at Hardwood Knox. The sponsor is at NBA_math. As always, we encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you've done that already, to share it with friends and family and to brighten their lives and to brighten their days. Every time that they get a new episode of Hardwood Knocks, they'll think of you and they'll smile. So until next time, we leave you with a shout out to Benno Udry and Kyle Anderson.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.